We're going to be in Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to turn there. But I do have some amazing news. I saved it for last on purpose because it's just going to be so fun to share it and hear the gasps from the congregation. As you know, tonight we have our vote on our piano, our future piano. This one's had it. Michael explained that all to us. He also explained to us why we need a Kawai. It's the best brand, best sound, best warranty, blah, blah, blah. And so tonight we were going to have a vote on the grand versus the upright. And Michael will share tonight some more things he learned because he and Ashley actually went to Auckland and tried them both in person. Of course, Ashley would have been a good person to do that. And so he's going to share some of those with you. But this week, an anonymous family said they would like to donate $10,000 toward a grand piano. So I think God made the decision for us. Anyway, so we'll still have a vote tonight to spend the other 11 grand, yes or no. But come tonight, cast your vote, be here, and help give the will of the Holy Spirit in this matter. And Michael will also explain that it won't be positioned funky, it'll be positioned normal. So it'll look nice. Anyway, you already know which one I want. And so tonight, after church, we'll have a quick vote, yes or no, on having a grand, buying that grand piano, which now is only going to cost church 11 instead of 21. What a blessing. Let's go to Hebrews 12. This passage is a very unique passage in the New Testament, but also one that we desperately need to constantly consider in our Christian lives. And that has to do with chastisement. Now, the Sunday school lesson kind of feeds into this when it comes to conviction. But I personally believe that many Christians are walking around in a perpetual state of chastisement because they refuse to acknowledge the scriptures that they're constantly disobeying. And God just keeps talking to them through the Holy Spirit, but they won't make things right with God. And then they wonder why the Christian life isn't fruitful. They wonder why they don't seem to be getting answers to prayers. Maybe they just need to stop and get on their knees and say, Lord, why? Why is my Christian life dry? Why am I not getting answers to prayers? God always answers that prayer, by the way. It's just, are we willing to ask the question? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 is where we'll begin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So today, we focus on the chastening of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we love you, how we thank you for Jesus, what he's done for us, who he is for us. And may he be glorified today and honored. May you guide us in your truth and use your precious and powerful word in every heart. Lord, may we set aside any distractions that this devil has put in our way and just focus on hearing from you. May you be pleased. We ask you to bless our service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This exhortation comes from the Old Testament. Two times in the Old Testament this is mentioned. One is in the oldest book of the Bible, Job chapter 5, verse 17. If you'll turn there quickly. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And I want you to remember that when Job occurred, when the events of Job's life occurred, he didn't have a Bible because he was before Moses. And so the first five books of the Bible had not even been written yet. So there was no written scripture in the days of Job. And yet God spoke through Job here in Job chapter 5, verse 17, and said, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." That's almost word for word from Hebrews, isn't it? In Job. And then the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived was Solomon. And in Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll turn there, God said it again in the Old Testament through Solomon in this book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, this same great truth. Proverbs 3:11, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Now go back to our verse, if you would, Hebrews 12:5. There's two phrases I want to point out in that verse before we move on. The first one is despise not. When God chastens us, our first response is usually anger, frustration. But God says, don't despise it, because I'm only doing it because I love you. That's what he says, isn't it? Later on, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." God does not chasten us because he's mean. He chastens us because he loves us. Now, we tell our children this when we're raising them, don't we? The Bible commands us to use the rod of correction on the seed of understanding. And when we do it, as they get older, we explain to them, this is what God commanded me to do. I'm not doing it because I love or hate you. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to inflict pain on you and enjoy that. I'm doing it because God told me to, and I love you. And I want to obey God, but I also want you to grow up understanding right and wrong. And God wants the same for us, doesn't he? And so the first phrase I want to focus on is that phrase, despise not. Don't despise it. Don't get angry when God chastises you. That's not the right response. The second one is, nor faint, in that same verse. In other words, don't let it cause you to say, well, I quit, I give up, and get discouraged or whatever. That's not why God is doing it in your life. He's doing it to grow you, as we'll see. He's doing it to refine you. He's doing it to make you more like Jesus. He's not doing it so that you'll quit and faint. So keep those two phrases in mind as we walk through these scriptures this morning. All through the New Testament, we're told to faint not, aren't we? Don't faint. Faint not. Sometimes chastisement, the devil will say, yep, you might as well just quit. Well, Christians are never to quit. Amen. So verse 6 of Hebrews 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." God does it because he loves us. Amen. Look at Revelation 3:19, if you would. And we need to have this right perspective that chastisement is out of love. It's out of love. Revelation 3:19, Jesus says here, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So I want us to understand this morning that chastisement is out of love. God's love for his children. You know what? God doesn't chastise the unsaved. And sometimes we get frustrated by that. We're even told in Proverbs, "Fret not because of evildoers." But we look at the unsaved sometimes and all the stuff they seem to be getting away with. And it's like, why does God let them get away with that? They're not his children. God does not chastise other people's children, just like we didn't, did we? When we were raising our children, we didn't see someone else and their child acted up. We said, hey, let me take care of that for you. Yeah, the parent's not going to like that very much, are they? Let me chastise your child. No, we don't chastise other people's children. They're the children of the devil. That's what the Bible says. And are they getting away with anything? Of course not. If they don't get saved, they're going to spend forever in hell. If they do get saved, they'll become God's child, and then, yes, he will chastise them. And that's what he says in verse 6, scourgeth every son. He only chastises his children, which I hope everyone in this room can say, that's me. I'm a child of God. John 1:11, as many as received him, to them may be power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The day we got saved, we become God's child. Hallelujah. And he is now our father. And as a father, he loves us and wants what's best for us. And part of that is chastisement. It's love. Now, verse 8 is a very interesting statement. Verse 7 and 8. He says, if ye endure chastening, which we'll talk more about later, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I've had people come to me before and say, you know, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. It happens all the time. The devil often makes us question our salvation, or maybe they're not saved. And if they believe that they've been saved for, say, years, this is one of the questions I always ask. Have you ever been chastised by God for sin that you didn't deal with? Because if you've never, ever experienced chastisement, then you probably aren't a child of God. Because God says so right here. All are partakers. Not some, all. Every child of God, sometime in his Christian walk, probably multiple times in our Christian walk, we will go through the chastisement of our Heavenly Father. And God says, if we never have, what does he say? That we're bastards and not sons. We're people who claim to be children of God, but are not. That's what he says, not me. That passage I mentioned in Sunday school, if we could turn to it quickly, Psalm 139, verse 23, God makes it very clear that he wants us to be constantly asking him what needs changed in our lives. Amen? Like we talked about in Sunday school. Verse 23, search me, O God. We sing this, don't we? I think it's hymn 471. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. We, as God's children, need to learn to pray, not those exact words, but to pray that sentiment constantly. Lord, here I am. Show me. Show me what you would like changed in my life. God will always answer that prayer. He will. Through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, he will show us. But are we willing to ask? See, that's the tough part, isn't it? Because maybe we're afraid of the answer. Maybe there's sin that we just don't want to let go of. God says in 1 Corinthians 11, let's turn there, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, where he's talking about the Corinthian church and their abuse of the Lord's Supper. He makes an interesting statement in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now that judgment he's talking about is going to come from God, not from man. And it says if we would judge ourselves, we're not to be judging others. Amen. Judge not that you be not judged. We're to be constantly judging ourselves, looking inside. And if we would, he says, if we will continue to do that, then we should not be judged. But look at the next verse. But when we are judged, look at this word that shows up. We are chastened. There it is. And so God's referring to chastisement as a form of judgment, and it is. Judgment always has to do with sin. So he's saying if we won't judge ourselves, then God's going to have to judge us through chastisement. So the key is to be constantly judging ourselves, constantly looking, asking, begging the Holy Spirit to show us, Lord, what do I need to change in my life? Let's go back to the passage, verse 9. Furthermore, Hebrews 12. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now we looked at this basic truth that chastisement is love. But now I want us to talk about the three goals that God is after in our lives through the chastisement. And the first one is right here. It's obedience. Obedience. God wants His children to obey His word. That's not complicated, is it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. God wants obedience. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. So, the first goal that God is trying to accomplish in our lives, if you want to call it a goal, end result, whatever, is obedience. He wants obedient children. We're told in 1 Peter that we're to be obedient children. He does it out of love, but what he's after, number one, is obedience. Now, we talked about this a little over a year ago at the revival that we sponsored here. I mentioned of the 150 commandments, there are a few that we came across that many Christians believe this don't apply to them. How do we know this? Because they don't obey them. I'm going to read those quickly. And if the Holy Spirit can use it in your heart, hallelujah. The Bible commands us to be faithful to church. Amen? That's a command. He doesn't say if you feel like it. He says it's a command. The Bible says we're to witness to the lost. That's a command. We're told to do it. Amen? The Bible says that we're to be content with such things as we have. And yet, how many things do we do out of discontentment? The Bible says that we're always to forgive. There's no exceptions. And yet, you know, sometimes, like Brother Doug with the cake thing, people just don't give it up. They just hold on to it. It becomes bitterness. Makes their hair grow white. I mean, you just... Just kidding, brother. The Bible says we're to be temperate in all things. That means we're to have self-control. But sometimes we let the flesh run our lives instead of not running our lives. The Bible says we're to speak evil of no man. The Bible says no fornication. These are just some examples. Our young people today, they could care less about that verse, huh? They all just sleep together and it's like, oh, God's okay with it. He's not. He's never changed that. That's been His word for 2,000 years. Anyway, there are 150 commandments in the New Testament. You say, oh, that's a lot. It really isn't. If you're reading the Word every day, you're going to come across them yourself. But are we obeying God's Word? And that is His number, or His first thing that He's trying to accomplish in our lives through the chastisement is obedience. The second thing, verse 10, is holiness. Look at it. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Doesn't the Bible say, be ye holy for I am holy? We don't talk enough these days about holiness. God wants us to emulate His holiness. And chastisement is also meant to drive us toward holiness. And He does this by changing us. Amen? Look at 2 Peter 1, if you would, quickly, verse 4. You see, the day we got saved, we became a new creature. We all believe this, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Which means now, instead of having one nature, which is the sinful Adamic nature, now we have two natures. Now we not only have the Adamic nature, but we also have God's nature. And those two are going to be battling it out until we leave this earth. Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5:17. But look at this verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious, 2 Peter 1:4, great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are now partakers of God's nature. Imagine that. And God says, I want you to live like that. And God is holy. Amen? That's His number one attribute in the Scriptures. Over 600 times in the Bible, God wants us to be holy. And it might take some chastisement to drive us in that direction. And so the first thing that He's trying to do in our lives is to drive us toward obedience. The second thing, when He works in our lives through chastisement, is to drive us toward holiness. And then the third thing is that we be fruitful. Look at it, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And again, God knows what He's already commanded us to do with our earthly children. No child enjoys getting the rod on their backside, do they? They don't say, oh, this is fun. And it's the same with any chastisement. It doesn't seem joyous. It's not something that we say, this is joyful and fun, but grievous. Nevertheless, He says, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, God is going to use it to make us more fruitful. We need to stop looking at chastisement as a negative thing. And let's face it, when we hear the word chastisement, we always think negative. It's actually a positive thing. Because it's good for us. Because God is trying to drive us to be more like Jesus. He's trying to drive us to be more obedient, drive us to be more holy, and drive us to be more fruitful in our Christian lives. Those are all positives, aren't they? Go to Psalm 119 and verse 67. David understood this. Remember, God chastised David for his sin. I would say losing a child is pretty heavy chastisement. Losing a newborn child. That was the chastisement. That was some of it. It wasn't all of it. Imagine your own son trying to steal your kingdom away. That was some of it too. He faced a lot of chastisement over his sin. But look what he says, Psalm 119, verse 71, and talking about it. He says, before I was afflicted, 119:67, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Look at verse 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Does it seem like David learned? Lord, thank you. Lord, I've grown. Lord, I've been driven towards your word because of the afflictions that you brought into my life as chastisement. And he grew through it, and God wants us to grow through it. Amen? Look at Psalms 94, verse 12. Also written by David, talking about chastisement. And see if David talks about it in a negative way or a positive way. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. In other words, a blessing? Yes. Blessed is the man. And that's why God said right at the beginning of the passage, despise it not, faint not. Don't see it as a negative thing, see it as a positive thing. If God is working in your life, say, thank you, Lord, for working in my life. And let God drive you toward obedience. Let God drive you toward holiness. And let God drive you toward being more fruitful as a Christian. This is what God wants from us. Look at John chapter 15. Jesus here talking about being a fruitful Christian. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Well, if there's never fruit, then you were never saved. And every branch that beareth fruit, so saved, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Herein is my, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Jesus says, I'm going to keep trimming those branches. Amen. Brother Scott, you understand that, eh? Take a fruit tree. What do you do? What did he do to our fruit trees that we planted this past year? He cut them back. He didn't let them bear fruit this year. He says they weren't ready. So that if we trim them properly, they're going to bear more fruit and much fruit. That's what Jesus does through chastisement. He trims us back. Amen. He cuts out that stuff that shouldn't be there so that we can be more fruitful as a Christian. So remember, it's out of love. Don't despise it. Don't faint. But acknowledge that when God is chastising, when God is speaking to us, when God is convicting us about anything, that's a good thing. And that God is working in your life, molding you, like Job said, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He is molding you to be more holy, to be more obedient, and to be more fruitful. It's all positives. And that is how we need to learn to look at it when he chastises us. Will we always have some chastisement, some point in our Christian lives? Well, God said so. He said, if you've never been chastised and you're never chastised, then you're not even one of his children. Which means we will all face it along the way in our walk. But when we do, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's love. God loves you so much that he's willing to do what it takes in our lives, drive us to be more obedient, drive us to be more holy, and to drive us to be more fruitful as his children. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how we love you. We thank you for your precious word in this beautiful passage. I pray, Lord, we'll take it to heart, Lord, and as the Holy Spirit convicts us about any of your commandments, Lord, may we learn to not push that away, but to stop and ask for your help and to repent and to respond as you would have us to, that we might grow to be more like Jesus. Lord, I did not preach to them today, but if there's someone in our service who's not yet trusted Christ, they're not yet born again, I pray they'll realize today is the day of salvation and they'll come to Jesus. Thank you for speaking to our hearts through your precious and powerful word. We love you in Jesus' name.